Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, on a national stage. The first time ever showcased on ABC primetime. Memphis ends the unbeaten streak and the unbeaten season of SMU. Chris Lowe covers college football for ESPN. He knows a thing or two about Memphis football. He joins us now. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Let's just start with the scene before we get to the game on Saturday. You know the history very well of Memphis football. You've seen the lows, and there have been quite a few of them. Did you ever think you would turn your television on Saturday morning and College Game Day, the preeminent college football show, would be broadcasting live from Beale Street for a Memphis football game?
No, that would be a definitive no. I mean, not when you look at the history of the program over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, you know, when Justin was there, he always had a couple good years, but no, not to be the showcase locale for college football that day. And what a great, I mean, I've talked to a bunch of people there on that game day set, you know, people behind the scenes, people that are out, you know, front and center. They said it's as good an environment as they've ever had for game day, period. You know, it was a perfect spot there, right on Beale Street, intersection of B.B. King Boulevard, and it was almost like a Mardi Gras type setting.
It was.
It really was. And then for Memphis, it was an exciting game, and for Memphis to win and sort of cap the day off. I texted with Coach Norvell later that night, and he just said very simply, what a great day for Memphis. Not only the program, the university, but the entire city.
I think certainly you would think about the upset over Tennessee maybe as before this weekend as the banner day. But, you know, even though it's not a playoff game, it's not a championship game in your conference, I mean, doesn't that sort of day and that showcase become the greatest day for Memphis football?
Well, the best news is I can promise you, mm-hmm. and knowing Mike Norvell, that they plan for it not to be. They feel like it's something they can build off of. And, you know, when you showcase your program and your city and what you built there to the rest of the country the way they were able to, you're going to get better players. People are going to sit up and take notice. Now, the downside is everybody's going to come after Mike Norvell. You guys know that. Everybody
right.
in Memphis knows that.
Uh-huh.
That's just part of it. You get a super football coach like that who does something that hasn't been done there really forever or certainly in a long, long time, then everyone's going to take notice and try to come get him. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of coach, if you're Memphis, that you want to hire. You want to hire coaches that other people want. And I know some people look at it, well, that's the downside, but I would take that every time. I would take that into the spectrum every time than having somebody that you think might be there 10 or 12 years and that nobody else is going to want.
Does a four not to interrupt,
but no,
Chris.
I think they can build off of it. I think that's a day and a scene and an environment that Memphis can build off of. And I can promise you that's certainly what Mike Norvell has in mind.
Well, you got me. You know, speaking of Norvell, you got us already thinking about it. And you just wonder. And you know that the carousel is going to keep moving, so things will change. But you wonder if, you know, would Florida State go big fish first and then maybe look at a guy like Norvell? How high up the list do you think he'll be on some of these big jobs lists? What do you think about him and his chances for a big job?
Well, I mean, I think he's going to be on a lot of lists. I think he has been on a lot of lists. And I think Mike's, you know, first of all, Mike's a smart guy. He's not going to just jump on a job to go. And they're going to be, I think this year in particular, in the SEC, for instance, there are going to be multiple job openings one way or the other. And I'm not going to say there's going to be 3 to 5 guys fired, but I think you're going to see once the carousel starts spinning, the domino effect take place, and there are going to be some jobs come open. But Mike's got a good enough gig there. They've invested enough. He's built it to the point to where I don't think he just goes to go anywhere. And clearly, if Florida State calls and says, you're our guy,
yeah,
who's not going to listen to that? Who's not going to say, absolutely, that's something I'd be very interested in? No, he'll be on Florida State's list. I mean, Florida State's the kind of job where it is, the fact that it's in the ACC, mm-hmm. the tradition, the fact that you're in a locale where you have great players all around you, they'll get interest from a lot of coaches, and I'm sure they're going to make, you know, you're going to swing big, quote unquote. But I think Mike will be certainly a guy that that will be a part of their list, and I don't know where he is, you know, or how that all shakes out. Sure. But there'll be some big guys, some big names, and you guys know how that process works out. The behind the scenes, agents or people are talking about, hey, would you be interested in talking to my guy? My guy would be interested. He doesn't want to get out there. If he's your guy, he's your guy. He's not going to go through the whole interview process. It's that's sort of the way it shakes out. But Mike is a football coach. I can promise you this, that a lot of people will be and should be interested in.
No doubt. We are talking to Chris Lowe, covers college football for ESPN. And then sort of last word on the Memphis football team. If they win out, it feels like they will almost certainly be the Group of Five representative in the Cotton Bowl against, you know, whoever that would be. Looking at the rest of their schedule, do you feel like this team, Chris, is equipped to do that? Can they beat Cincinnati twice? Do you think they can do that this year?
Well, that's a hard, you know, Cincinnati is a good football team. And that's, to beat anybody twice is hard, if that's what it comes to. That really makes it even more difficult. But here's the thing with Memphis. Memphis can score so many different ways. Mm-hmm. They're such a big play team. And if you're going to beat them, you better be willing to score 35, 40-plus points a game every time you play them. And, again, we've seen in special teams, we've seen in the pass game, the run game, they've got that big playability. And that's the thing, even if they get behind, you know, a couple scores, their ability to score quickly and get right back into the game and then get ahead on you, jump ahead of you early, is the other thing I think that makes them so dangerous. But no, I think they're good enough and equipped because of their ability to score and how good Mike is offensively and what their, you know, their scheme, that they can, you know, there's I don't see anybody on their schedule that they can't beat the rest of the way or shouldn't be able to beat.
Much like Memphis, your thoughts on AAC football overall? I think the rise, and I think it's sort of cemented itself as sort of the best thing outside the Power Five. I saw a stat this weekend that if you took UConn out of the league this year, it would actually rate higher than the ACC overall. Just your thoughts on the conference as a whole and how strong it's gotten.
Well, and it continues to get better. And the balance that we've seen sort of blossom and how broad we've seen that league get as far as teams that are legitimate threats for anybody. I think that's what's most impressive to me is you've seen every year seemingly there's another team that steps up and makes, you know, a lot of progress.
Yep.
Look at the coaching lineup in the league too.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. I mean, that's a league by nature that if a coach goes to a school in one of those leagues and does well, you know, a Power Five school is going to come after him.
Yep.
That's just, you know, you look at Frost and him going to Nebraska, that's going to happen. But yet the league has been able to sustain itself because they've made good hires. You know, hires that are in some cases like Mike that are still there. And then when they've had to replace other coaches, guys have come in and done a nice job. So I still think it goes back to getting the right guy as head football coach and having a vision and that conference has done a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, when we sort of conduct the autopsy on Willie Taggart's, you know, era at Florida State, why didn't it work? Why did it all go wrong so quickly?
Well, you know, they never, for one, I was there, let's see, not this preseason, last preseason, and they never were able to get it right in the offensive line. That was a problem from the get-go. And a part of that was, he didn't inherit a lot of talent up front offensively. Mm-hmm. But when you're bad in the offensive line and struggle, have no continuity, that just has a way of permeating your entire football team. And they just never could get it right. And that you go back and look at some of the games they lost, that was almost always a common denominator. I think the other thing is they just, A, there's no – and I'm not saying they should have kept him because it had gotten to the point, you know, even less than 2 years to where at Florida State that should never be to that depth. But – when you're in the conference like the ACC, that's down. Outside of Clemson, it's just not a very good league.
Yeah.
And then you struggle the way he did at Florida State, there's going to be zero patience. I mean, any sliver of patience there might have been was wiped out completely when people look around and say, oh, wait a minute. How is it that in this league with so many teams being down, you know, so much, you know, you've got Mack Brown back, you know, coaching again his first year. You look at what Wake Forest has done under Dave Clawson, who's done it. There's another guy who's done a terrific job in Winston-Salem. And yet here we're Florida State, and we're getting beat by these teams that never beat us. And the fit, the timing, and a lot of things. I think Willie is a guy that certainly has proven he did a great job at South Florida, you know, and he wasn't at Oregon very long, but it didn't work, you know. But what a class individual. I mean, you go back and read a statement that he put out after being let go.
Yep.
You know, he'll get another shot somewhere. There's no doubt in my mind that Willie Taggart will get another shot somewhere as a head football coach.
Chris, we know first college football playoff rankings out tomorrow night. How's your top four look tomorrow?
You know, a lot like most people's. I would have LSU 1 because of what they've done to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Their body of work. They've got three top 10 teams. They beat three teams that were ranked top 10 when they played them. A couple of those on the road. I'd have Ohio State 1. I've not seen LSU live. I have seen Ohio State live. Ohio State, to me, is about as complete a team as I've seen this year in college football. I would still have LSU ranked ahead of them right now because I think LSU's resume at this point is a little bit better. Ohio State, though, has that combo of quarterback, defensive line that you're always looking for. I mean, they've got their defensive line is laden with professionals, future pros, and Fields' skill set is exactly what Ryan Day wants in that offense. So I'd have LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Clemson 4. Now, Bama and Clemson, neither one have great resumes. They really haven't beaten anybody, but they're both really good football teams. And it's ultimately going to play out because Alabama and LSU, in fact, I'm in Tuscaloosa right now, are going to play this coming week. So that's going to sort itself out on the field. And all this discussion about what if, what happened, those teams are going to play.
Right.
But it's just, when you look at who Clemson's played and who Alabama's played, their resumes are pretty similar. They haven't really played many people. The difference is, to me right now, the difference is this. We don't know how healthy Tua Tagovailoa is.
Right.
Okay. And number two, Clemson almost lost to North Carolina. Now, other than that game, they've blown everybody out. And I think that's probably something that a lot of people on the committee and people who vote in the polls probably hold against them a little bit.
Yeah.
Paul Feinbaum said, I believe, over the weekend that he's hearing that Tua is going to be available to play and that, you know, he's looked pretty good. He's doing more and more in practice. If he is out there and he is, you know, close to 100%, do you give the edge to Bama in this game?
Well, see, first of all, I don't think anybody knows whether he will or won't be 100%. I agree with Paul in that I think the plan all along is for him to try to play in this football game. I don't think the swelling has been as bad in the ankle as it was last time. He has moved around pretty well. So I think all along they've been optimistic that he's going to be able to play. But with high ankle sprains and quarterbacks, when you get into the game, you re-injure it, there's a setback. How healthy are you? Can you protect yourself? I mean, those are all unknowns. So to say he's healthy going in, maybe he feels pretty good, but, you know, two series into the game, that can change. You see, those are all things that none of us have a crystal ball. So,
Right. Yes,
I agree that Tua is – the plan is definitely for Tua to play in this football game. How healthy he is, how effective he is for the whole game, I just don't know. But I think Alabama is the favorite for a reason. I think playing at home,
yes,
nobody big beats – four people have beaten Nick Saban at home since his first season.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is playing better. Terrell Lewis, their edge rusher, is playing exactly like they thought he was going to play. He's healthy. I think that helps. This will be the best defense in a lot of ways that LSU has faced. I think Alabama is the better football team right now. But getting to Burrow and making him and forcing him into mistakes will be critical because he has been so good this year getting rid of the football on time and just not allowing people to come get him.
If he goes in there and wins this, just to stick it with Burrow, right? I mean, it cements it for the Heisman, doesn't it?
I would think so. I mean, we do a poll every week, and he's been my number one the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they go in and he plays well, then
he's been
and LSU wins. It's hard for me at that point to see a scenario where he doesn't win it.
Yep.
Hey, Chris, man, this
you
was great
man,
as
sir.
Always. Appreciate the time and the insight, man. Thank you.
Okay, guys, take care.
Yep, he is Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN, covering college football. What a game that is going to be this weekend, Jason.
It's a monster.
Yeah.
I think the first time they're going to have, like, and it makes all the sense in the world, game day and SEC Nation in one place. And why, I mean, where else are you going
to put
them up to go?
Exactly.
I mean, this is as big as it gets.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, listen, I mean, Bama's a 6.5-point favorite, but I mean, I think this is going to be an awesome. It will probably be the game of the year in college football.
It's going to come down to Tua, whether or not they're telling the truth. I mean, everybody says he looks good, but nobody, to Below's point, I don't know if we know if he's 75, 85, 90, where he's going to be. It's going to come down to how healthy he is. There's no question, because without Tua, I just don't think they're explosive enough to hold down this LSU team. Now, we'll see. We know that LSU offense, they can give it to you any way you want it.
That's right. That's right. And it is a different LSU team than Alabama is used to seeing. So that's why I think this game is going to be so awesome on Saturday, 2:30 on CBS. All right, we will be back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.